Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is the Gist of Freedom, and you're listening to Leslie Gist. Tonight we have a great guest on the line. Mr. Davey, would you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Hello and good evening, everyone. It's Rick Davey from the Paul Robeson Theater.
Okay. Mr. Davey, I read about you in a newspaper. Could you tell our audience more about this article?
Well, the article was, to summarize it, the owner of the theater, Dr. Josephine English, she passed away the day after her birthday, December 18, 2011. And she has been struggling for the last couple of years to get the theater restored. And the article was just talking about her legacy and how we'd like more support for people to actually see the theater restored to save her legacy.
Okay. Could you tell the audience more about this theater and who she is?
First of all, Dr. English, to pay homage to her, she's actually she's one of the first OBGYN in New York that was permitted by the state to practice surgery. She delivered thousands of babies in Brooklyn. She opened the first clinics in and around Brooklyn in the low-income areas and provided affordable services to lots of women. She delivered all of Malcolm X's babies and also the Secretary of State. She has been servicing the community for most of her career.
Wonderful. And can you tell us a little bit about the theater she opened?
Well, right next to her first clinic on Green Avenue in Clinton Hills, Fort Greene area, right next to her was a church. It was actually a Roman Catholic church at the time when she was doing her business next door. And they were moving out, and they liked her, the way she operated her business and what she was doing for the community. So they offered her to purchase the church at a very good rate. That was in 1980. And she purchased the church, but she didn't want another church. She thought that there were too many churches in the area. And she always liked theater. She always admired Paul Robeson, and she thought he was inspirational for the young black men in the community at that time, because it was very, very one of the very bad communities in Brooklyn, the Fort Greene Clinton area. So she purchased the church from them, and she turned it into a theater, incorporating the stage and the lights and all the facilities that it needed to be into a theater with her own money. And she did quite a bit of plays. It had its heyday with quite a bit of people attending. And unfortunately, the roof started to leak and she needed support, and been really pushing for the last couple of years to get support to save the roof, because the ceiling had gotten really bad and it destroyed the inside of the main stage of the theater. Only the basement level was operational, and she had been putting on small plays in the basement since then.
Okay, you seem very knowledgeable about Doctor. How did you learn about her?
Well, I have a nonprofit myself, BK Style Foundation. It's based on fashion. We do emerging designers, young designers, fashion shows, and we work with some of the high schools in and around Brooklyn. And I always passed by the theater, and I always thought it was such a great name, such an iconic name, the Paul Robeson. I thought he was such an iconic figure for black men, and I always thought, oh, wow, the theater is just sitting there. And eventually I met someone who introduced me to her son, Barry Shepherd, and I met her, which is about, I would say, about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would help them as much as I can to find funding to bring the theater back to life.
Wow. So you walked by this theater, and
yeah. How
did you contact, you said Shepherd was the name?
Shepherd, Barry Shepherd, that's Barry English Shepherd.
That's her son?
Her middle boy.
How did you find him?
Well, another friend of mine thought because of what we were doing, and the theater was sitting there, and he met them, and he thought that he could bring us together, and he introduced me to him, and we started talking, and I so I could come in and help as much as I can. Mm. And then he introduced me to the doctor, and we spoke in length, and you know, I didn't know about her then, and I didn't know she was attached to the theater. I was just admired by the name, the Paul Robeson Theater. Mm-hmm. And then when I met her, I realized, like, oh, my goodness, we have such an icon in the community, and it's like such a powerful woman, and, you know, she went through so much, and she and I would meet, and I, you know, she was, I mean, we were, like, really became really good friends, because I was so admiring of someone who went through, you know, the whole civil rights and trying to educate themselves back then. And I thought it was really admirable of her to have done so much for the community. So I thought I, for my own passion, I should at least do what I can to give back, you know.
Wonderful. It sounds like you have an accent. Can you give us some background of your accent and who you are and what made you become a civic organizer yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago, and I came here and the struggle from the Caribbean to here and the opportunities that that were presented to me here, I think, you know, that more black men should take more advantage to these opportunities. And I think, you know, the younger community has to have that whole respect of ancestors, because that's how I grew up, you know. And I think if we respect our ancestors and our history, it will kind of advance us a whole lot more, you know. And I think we're losing a little bit of that. So that's where my passion came in.
Mm-hmm. And you seem like you really like Paul Robeson. You probably know as much about Paul Robeson as you do about Dr. English. Can you tell us a little bit about Paul Robeson and how you learned about him?
Well, because in the Caribbean, I always admire a lot of the black men and the black figureheads that came out of the United States. And, you know, he was one of those men that I thought that gives so much, you know, was so talented but still gives so much, you know. And I'm about being humble, so you could get to a certain powerful level, but how do you look and how do you give back? And I had really admired for that, for his talent that he has as an athlete, you know, his talent as an actor, and most of all, his talent of wanting to support and help his people, that he was even ostracized by his own country, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and still fight back, to still fight so hard. So it's admirable, you know. You can't not recognize someone who do so much, you know, for us as a people who have struggled so hard and still struggling, you know.
Right.
Even with a black president, you know.
Right.
It's kind of
now,
funny.
Now, I'm amazed that you know so much about him, because I'm from New Jersey, and you would be shocked about the lack of knowledge of Paul Robeson right here in New Jersey. And
well,
did you learn about him in your textbooks or on your own? Or where did you first
On my own him? And just reading and admiring black figures that, as I said, you know, on my own. And the name is such a powerful name. I mean, you can't miss it, you know.
Right.
And maybe, as you read, maybe it needs to be more in the textbook. But I don't know. A lot of young black men in Brooklyn, they don't know about him at all. I ask, and I always ask, you know, and that's why they don't even know who he is and what he did, and it's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has a home in Princeton, and it doesn't have a marker. His home is there, and they're working on restoring
mm-hmm.
it and getting some recognition. And the
mm-hmm.
church where his father started is in Somerville, New Jersey. And there is also a museum in Philadelphia, the Paul Robeson home where he lived. So
yeah.
I hope that, you know, I'm mentioning these different places, hopefully that you'll be able to connect. And,
yeah, for sure.
And gel together and get this theater going. Now, do you know of any productions, one of the last productions that actually was staged there?
Well, in the main stage, I am not sure the last production was staged. I think it was Dan Yankees, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
But I know for the basement level, the last play ended in December, and it was Codes. And there's another play coming up Imitation of Life, I think, in March, end of March, April.
What? So I didn't know that it was functioning still. I thought it was unfit.
No. It's actually the upstairs, the main stage, is unusable because of the ceiling. But the basement level, you could do a small show for about 75 audience members.
Wonderful. And have you had any events down in the basement?
Yes, several. There have been several events there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, with your company, I'm talking about with your fashion. You've done things down there?
Well, because of the size of my event, it's actually too small to do anything fashion-wise there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another property that's attached to the doctor that she had was in Bed-Stuy, and it was a community home for senior citizens, and we did one of the fashion events there. It's a beautiful kind of mini mansion area. It's very nice in Bed-Stuy. It's now a school for a progressive school.
And it's still her property.
Yes, it's still her property.
And the family, it seems like they're really preserving her legacy. They're doing a great job, would you say?
Yes, they are. She has a niece actually who's in New Jersey, too, and her name is Joanne English Rollinson.
That name sounds familiar, extremely familiar.
I should connect you with her also. She's right in New Jersey, and she just came in just before the doctor passed away and came in to help out and to help push and move the theater forward.
Okay, so what is the progress now? In the paper I read in the Daily News, and I was so proud to see you guys with your hard hats on and working hard on marketing. It was very popular. We got a very good positive response when I posted it on Facebook, and I said I had to meet you and get you on the show. It's just a great feeling when we read about our men like this, and you know. So tell us more about that article as far as how you men got together in the name of this your organization.
Well, I have a regular job. I work in this other nonprofit organization for disabled adult, and I met with this young man named Wayne Devenish, and Wayne moved on and he formed his own company called 500 Men. And I always told him about the theater and what we can do to support. So when he moved on, he had an opportunity where his company could get 500 guys together and do something during the Black History Month. And so to celebrate so we came together and he put all these guys together and they bought brooms and the upstairs, the main stage, really needed cleaning out. And some of the ceiling needed sealing up so the water could stop coming in. And over the Martin Luther King weekend, all the guys came together in 7 to 2 hours, no sleep, no rest. And just work until we get all of the garbage out, all of the bad work out, all of the leakage out, and seal some stuff out and kind of make it not usable, but actually make it more easier for us to encourage investors.
Mm-hmm. Encourage investors. Do you have any investors, any sponsors at this moment?
No, we haven't had any luck. We're actually working with a council member in the area, Letitia James, and she's actually working to bring some investors in and to try to get some city funding.
Great. Now, I read that you were having a fundraiser on Facebook. Did that happen yet?
No, we didn't start it as yet, but we are going to start the Facebook. It's a $2 campaign, and we are just waiting for some other things to fall into place before we start that campaign.
And how would it work, this fundraiser?
Well, we were just asking each person to donate $2 to the restoration of the Paul Robeson Theater and to ask their friends to do the same and hopefully we could raise $2 million to get the main stage back up and running.
Now, I know you mentioned that the Shabazz family, Malcolm X's children, were given birth by Dr.
Yes.
English. Have they been involved with the theater? Do they even know about this theater?
Yes, they know about the theater and they know about Dr. English, but I don't know for what the reason was that they have not come together and lend any major support in restoring the theater, but they do know about the theater and they do know about the doctor.
Have you spoken to them personally?
No, I haven't spoken to them. No, I have not spoken to them.
Okay. So as far as
I think Joanne English Shepherd, she's not going to step in and take charge of doing all of those, initiating those contacts.
Okay. All right. Because right now at the Shabazz Center, they have an exhibit called Freedom Sisters, and I'm pretty sure they would love to include Dr. English as part of that exhibit. I think this is a great time to bring her up. If you were to go by the center, this would be a good time to have her picture up and to promote what's going on with the Paul Robeson Museum, not museum, theater.
Theater, yeah.
Right. The theater itself, is it a landmark? How old is it?
It's about 100 years old. It has a lot of great history, and actually, that was one of my first missions when I came in. I worked with a doctor, and just before she passed away, we got it landmark. So it's now landmark.
So it's a national landmark?
Yes, it's a historic landmark, yes.
Wow. So that should bring some funds in, shouldn't it?
Yeah, that's why we're hoping Councilmember Letitia James could help in that support, because not just it's only a landmark, it's actually one of the cultural districts of Brooklyn, and it's one of the only black-owned theaters in Brooklyn, really.
Wonderful. And what about the religious community? You mentioned it was, what type of church was it, Russian?
It was a Russian, Russian Roman Catholic Church. It was actually, interestingly, at one time it was also a synagogue. It has 100 years of history of different churches.
Have you guys tapped into those people, the people that, you know, might have family history connected to the church?
Well, yeah, all that outreach is being actually made. Actually, what happened is because of the Dr. English being passed away, everything kind of slowed down for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could foresee.
Because she was actually quite ill close to the end of the year, so it kind of slowed everything down, trying to make sure that she was well.
Well, you're doing a great job. I mean, you really are. That newspaper article... And you are
Thank
in several
you so
newspapers.
Much.
Yeah, you're in several newspapers. If I Google your name, I came across at least 3 articles. How many interviews were you a part of?
Oh, several. I've been trying to push it as much as I can because I can only do as much as I can. I have, like, my own company. I have a day job, and I'm volunteering for 2 other companies. And this is a volunteer gig for me, so... It's a passion of mine, but I don't have enough time to commit to it like I would like to. So I try to get the word out to as much people as I can so I can get more support for the theater.
Now, who...
So thank you for doing this interview, too.
Oh, well, I'm honored. I mean, when I saw the article, I was like, I hope that he'll take my call and talk to little old me on Blog Talk Radio from New York Daily News, you know, my show. But I'm glad you came in and took the call. But I was going to ask you about the your personality. Who in your life influenced you to be so giving? And, you know, did you foresee yourself as a young person that you were so caring? Did you see this type of charity in your home or any member of your family that you know that was so giving?
My mom was always giving. It's funny. We have a something that we do in Trinidad all the time and in the Caribbean, I guess. And it's called not Thanksgiving like in the American term of Thanksgiving, where you do it in November. But Thanksgiving, where like whenever you have a great time in your life, or every 6 months or every year, you should give thanks back. So what we would do, my mom would always give these Thanksgiving rolls. We'd cook all day long and feed all the kids in the neighborhood and make these little bags of fruits and put a dollar in each bag and give it to all the kids in the neighborhood, and everyone would eat, and wouldn't we know, you know, just, and then pray. It would be a lot of praying, too, but it was something that I grew up with.
Wonderful. If you don't mind me asking, do you have a family yourself that you're passing on these great
traits? Yes, I do.
Okay, let's talk a little
bit
about that.
I'm sure you're fighting with it. The kids are different these days, but I'm fighting, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, the church, when it's restored, what do you think you'll reach your goal? When is your goal? 10 years? 5 years?
Well, no, I think it could happen quite sooner than that. It's a lot of money, because to get it back to the standard of now, because it would need a lot, because of now you have to put in more like handicap accessibilities, handicap bathrooms in the main stage area. So in that way, it would cost a lot to get it to that stage. But if the money is there, it would take less than a year and a half to get it back up. It wouldn't be that long.
And the money, you think the campaign will be successful?
Well, hopefully that, but it will need just more than a campaign to really put something like a theater of that magnitude back together. A campaign would help, and it would bring some awareness to the theater, and for when the theater opened, it would bring notoriety for the theater again. But I don't think we could raise enough money. Hopefully we can. You have to be always hopeful, but it needs some additional city or grants or heavy grant funding, or which is the best thing that I think would be for the theater that I would like to see happen. It has to have corporate or private sponsor that would put the money in, and they would get a big plaque outside of the theater or something with your name in it, or additional name to Paul Robeson, sponsored by, or a bank or something like that.
Are you familiar with Eric Adams? Is he?
Yes, Senator Eric Adams. Yes, I do know familiar with him, yes.
What is your experience with him?
He's a good guy. He fights for the community, but it's outside of his district, yeah.
Oh, outside of his district.
Yeah.
And what about people like our friend out of Harlem? That maybe he can direct you in the right place, and Eric to also guide you.
Well, I think that's how we have Councilmember Letitia James, and it's really weird. But the Dr. Josephine English knew all of a lot of these senators and senators, you know.
Right.
Yeah, she actually. The Boylan families, I think they know her very well. They were at her funeral. I think, I can't remember the other senator's name, but there's quite a bit of them who know her very well.
Right.
Because in the heyday, she was really a very important part of the community. And all these senators and congresspeople kind of grew up around her because, as I said, she was one of the only ones who was doing what she was doing, the service she was providing.
Now, you think once you get the money, the building will be ready in a year and a half. What would be one of your favorite shows you would like to see on stage, on the main stage?
Well, I wouldn't have a favorite show for the main stage, but what I would like to see, because the Dr. Halifa was so interested, and I had someone who, that was my main focus, mm-hmm. before she passed away, to try to get someone to start doing a play. Mm-hmm. To write a story and do a play on her life. And we started doing it, so we have to kind of hopefully, that's what I would like to see. Because her life actually was so interesting, you know, growing up in New Jersey herself, with sisters who worked hard and put her to college, and she's going away to Meharry College. It was just an interesting life, and being the first black woman and providing service for the community, and so I think it would be an interesting play.
So did someone write it already?
No, not as yet. It started. I had two playwrights who started working on it and started doing interviews with her and sit down with her on Sundays and try to get as much as they can. So
and
now
where
that's
are they
the
now?
Bill. Well, they're around still, but I think we have to now get most of that information from her siblings and her sons and daughters. Well, her sons, I did, not daughters, sorry. and all the people who knew her. So hopefully it could still be turned into a stage play. I'm sure it can.
So you have some great playwrights in New York. One of my favorite is Mr. Lawrence Holder. He does a lot of black history, and he's an excellent playwright. I was thinking about Paul Robeson's son. Did you ever get to meet him, or does he know anything about this play?
Yes, he do, because the family, I think they have some other family who live close by, and one of the family members actually came by over that weekend and was actually helping with the cleanup.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was an excellent photo. Did you guys take pictures with her family?
Yes, I think they did, and some of the newscasters, I think, probably got it. I'm not sure.
Excellent. One of the other questions. Let's talk, before I get into a few other questions, let us have your contact information and how we can reach you, and also talk more about your companies.
Well, under Paul Robeson Theatre, you can reach me at, I hope I can get it right with my accent. It's RickDavy@PaulRobesonTheatre.org.
Okay. Could you spell the first three or four letters? How?
It's Davy, D like dog, A like apple, V like victory, Y like yellow.
Okay, and that's your
email. PaulRobesonTheatre.org.
Okay, and your company, your fashion, is that your full-time?
Well, it's my full-time passion, yes.
Okay.
Because I started it out, and it's called BK Fashion Weekend. So you could do bkfashionweekend.com.
Okay, and what will they find on your website?
It's all fashion-based, and what we do is similar to, if anyone is familiar with it, New York Fashion Week, but we are Brooklyn-based,
mm-hmm.
and we support emerging designers. That is the designers that cannot afford to show at a New York Fashion Week. So we do the same production, similar production, that is, over 3 days, and we showcase emerging designers. And we also work with young designers in the high school, particularly Maxwell William High School in East New York of Brooklyn. We train and work with the kids and allow them to show a collection on the runway. And they have been doing that for 3 years.
Wonderful. And what do you do full-time?
Well, that's mostly what I do full-time. And we have a program attached to that called Stitch for Success, where we collect old sewing machines from people who are not using it any longer, and we give it to young women and men who would like to start a career in the fashion business.
Say that again, the name of it, Stitch?
Stitch for Sex for Success.
And did you start that?
Yes.
Wow, you're just so busy. And why did you choose this particular high school? You mentioned the high school that you were in.
Because it's in one of the more low-income community in Brooklyn, and it's actually one of the schools that has a fashion program, and it's about to be closed by the city.
What? Wow.
So we are trying to fight to show it's a viable program, and should stay open.
When did you find out they were going to close it?
It's about 2 years now they've been trying to close it, but I think they're making their final decision this year. We've been trying to fight with them for the longest while to keep it open.
Well,
but it's a great, great program for the kids, because actually one of the kids from the program from a year and a half ago, she's a fashion student, and her accessories and stuff is now in a major clothing store called Urban Outfitters.
I heard of them. This is very upscale, very expensive.
Yeah, so her collection is now is in that store. So it's a great thing for the kids.
It sure is.
Coming out of East New York, yeah.
Now, how could you merge their work with the Robeson Theater?
Well, we've been trying to do as much as we can. So this season, our next fashion event is coming up March 29th to April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And all the proceeds, and we're having a silent auction, and all the proceeds is going to Paul Robinson Theater.
Wonderful. And one more question before I let you go. Where are you getting the sewing machines? Because I didn't even know people still use them.
Oh, a lot of people have sewing machines still, and that's why we said some people have them and it's sitting in their basement because they thought they wanted to sew, or they might think that they wanted to sew and just have it sitting there, or their mom left it for them, or, you know. But we want to encourage young kids again to start sewing because economically it's beneficial and it helps you to start your own business. People need to start sewing again.
Right. As far as if someone has an old sewing machine, do we contact you at the same email address?
No, that would be info@bkfashionweekend.com.
Wonderful.
And we would come and collect it or arrange to ship it and do a transfer to a young person, and we send them photograph, and the person would send them thank you. And I want to thank you for this interview, and I thank your audience for listening, and I hope because of my accent everyone understood. And
oh, no, your accent is beautiful. You speak very, very well. It's like music, so it really is.
So
I enjoyed listening to you. I'm so happy about what you're doing, and I'm looking forward to coming down. When's
Please
the next
do.
Show at Paul Robinson?
The next show, I'm not sure of the exact date. It's called Imitation of Life. They just started rehearsing for it. If you send me some information or send me an email, I'll send you all updates.
And then you post these events
on
your Facebook?
Yes.
And you also tweet them?
Yes.
Okay, so I will look for it on Facebook, and we can also visit Paul Robinson. Do they have a website, Paul Robinson?
Yes, paulrobinsontheater.org.
All right, we'll check it out. And thank you again for stopping by, and we will be in touch.
Will do. God bless.
And you too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.